the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us unite our hearts in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we approach you on this eve of Judgment Sunday, we simply ask, dear Father, preserve us here in this begun faith as your dear child. We ask yet even this evening to feed us, nourish us, and grant unto us through thy undying word that which thou seest that we need. Dear Father, open thy word unto us for thy honor and thy glory, so that we can receive instruction and comfort from thy undying word. We thank you, dear Father, for all thy grace gifts, above all for granting unto us thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, through whose merit we have been made perfect before thee. And we pray, as thy beloved Son has taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, it's been very uplifting and very encouraging to be able to be here in the hearing of God's word these past weeks, and how our Heavenly Father, through his grace, has painted onto us such a beautiful picture of our endeavor of faith, the reason for us to be watchful, and now, even this morning, these precious reminders unto us of Judgment Sunday. I thought I would take to read from one of the epistles of the Apostle Paul when he was writing a letter to the believers there in Thessalonica. Questions had arisen after his second mission trip when he was there serving in that congregation. Young Timothy went there after, and he reported back to the Apostle Paul of the concerns that had arisen in that congregation, among them the questions of death and so on. And I thought to read then now from the first epistle unto the Thessalonians, from the fourth chapter, beginning from the 16th verse, which also speak unto us of Judgment Day. The God gave the Apostle Paul a picture of that last day. And we hear now that picture that God presented unto Paul. And these words are in Jesus' name as follow. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. To us who have been given the grace through the incredible love of our Heavenly Father to be partakers here in this kingdom of God, this living kingdom of God. Indeed, this kingdom where the Lord Jesus still walks in our midst every day through the Holy Spirit, teaching and reminding, comforting and uplifting, and so on. I'm going to start with the last verse first. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's a pretty incredible picture that he writes onto us. What happens on the last day of this world? Everyone will wake up the same way as we woke up this morning. This morning to a beautiful fall morning, and then sometime during that day, like Jesus says, well, you boys and girls, in the summer you've seen a thunderstorm and the lightning flashes across the sky, and how quick that is, that flash. You see it and it's gone. Jesus said, in this way, he will come the second time, as lightning from the east goes to the west. The Apostle Paul spoke of it in this way, that in the twinkling of an eye, life as we know changes. Life as we know ends. Everything that we've been familiar with is discontinued. Everything temporal, the Bible speaks, burns, begins to burn, and is destroyed on this day, the last day. This day of which the Apostle Paul here wrote of, to those believers in Thessalonica, and all the believers since then, and now he's reminding us this evening of Judgment Day. You know, when you read of the signs of the last day, dear brother and sister, the disciples asked Jesus this very question: what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? We heard last Sunday, I think it was, when Jesus was at the temple, and the disciples wanted to show unto him this incredible structure and talked of it, and we heard so beautifully of how God described unto us of that portion of the scriptures. This is on that same day when they went to the Mount of Olives, and it says the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? What did Jesus say? He didn't start telling them right immediately what's going to happen on that last day. He does in this 23rd chapter of Matthew. But what is the first thing he reminds the disciples and reminds us? And has reminded all the believers from that day to now. This is how Jesus responded to the question. Take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and so on. There was another time, again, the disciples are talking of the last day, and they were wondering now, they asked the question, how many are saved? How did Jesus respond to the question? They wanted knowledge. The disciples asked, how many will be saved? This is how he responded. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and they shall not be able. Jesus' concern was of the matter of living faith, not of knowledge. Knowledge is good. We're not saved by knowledge. We're not even saved by understanding. We're saved by living faith, solely by the grace of God, solely by the merit work of our Lord Jesus. This is what Jesus wants to remind us of. It is not of the knowledge. It's not of the wisdom. Oh, that's important. But our salvation is not dependent upon it. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. Endeavor to remain on the narrow way. You know, at this time, Judas, one of the disciples, was traveling with Jesus. Perhaps he was even asking questions of Jesus. Jesus knew his heart. Dear brother and sister, Jesus knows your heart. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And that is why he is encouraging us that the question isn't of knowledge. The question is of living faith. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. I don't know when Judas lost the Holy Spirit, went into unbelief, but it was some time before the end of that mission work of Jesus. He had the name of a child of God. He was with the disciples. And in the end, he was a complete hypocrite. His heart was not with the Lord Jesus. It was with the mammon of the world, the money, the treasure, the temporal good. It's important for us to remember that. It's good that we study. It's very important that we read the Holy Scriptures, that we read the writings of the believers that are living and the former saints, that we read these and study these and how the Holy Spirit has revealed matters unto them. Because it helps us. It brings understanding to us. It opens our eyes. It makes the way of salvation much more clear. For you mothers and fathers. So then that you can teach your children. This is important. But knowledge isn't a matter of... We're not going to be saved by knowledge. You know, during that minister, which is called like the minister's heresy in Finland back in the 1960s, many of those that went into that heresy were the highly educated, learned theologians. That simple endeavor of that narrow way became lost unto them through their knowledge and their wisdom. Reason and knowledge are important in this life. But Jesus is reminding us to consider our personal matters of faith first, not of others here, me. How are my matters before our Heavenly Father? That's the beginning point. We heard this morning from that gospel text for Judgment Sunday, very important reminder unto us. You know, now, in this life, oftentimes things get kind of complicated, complex, foggy, doubts overtake us. On the last day, life is simplified. But what's important is that we endeavor on the narrow way of life, that we cling to the gospel message, that we endeavor to be obedient unto the will of our Heavenly Father. There's so many things we don't understand. It doesn't matter. We're not saved by the amount of understanding that we have. The simplicity of faith is, it's so incredible. Because that's all that's required. To believe and to trust upon Him whom the Father has sent. This is, as we heard this morning, the work of God. One asked Him, what can I do to do the work of God's kingdom? And Jesus said, to believe upon Him whom the Father has sent. That's the simplicity of living faith. That's all that's required of us, faith and trust in Him, His merit work, and the grace of our Heavenly Father. That's how simple it is. And yet this flesh oftentimes makes it very complicated and complex and difficult and so on. It obscures the way of salvation oftentimes. As the enemy is doing today in the kingdom here in North America, obscuring the vision of the way of salvation through the understanding of man. Just recently, I don't remember what the occasion was, but I heard for the first time from the 119th Psalm that incredible an incredibly simple exhortation. 119th Psalm, the 130th verse. It speaks about the light of the Holy Spirit that guides us on this way. The light of the Holy Spirit that every one of you has who are God's children. It is the Spirit of our Heavenly Father. Indeed, it is God in the third portion. Indeed, we believe that Jesus is here walking in our midst through the Holy Spirit. Nothing's changed. He says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Imagine. This is the most important thing in our life. Faith is not complex. It's very simple. The Apostle Paul reminded how the Spirit of God testifies with my spirit that I am a child of God. Do you believe that you are a child of God? I know you believe that. Do you get doubts? I know you get doubts. The doubts come from Satan. He wants you to be doubt-ridden and downtrodden and to become weary and tired and to give up living faith. That's what he wants. And yet our Heavenly Father reminds us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Jesus himself said, fear not, little flock. It is my Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. Every day. And that's the instruction of Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added unto us. The starting point every morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Simple instructions of our Lord Jesus. That is the beginning point every day. A new day of this endeavor of faith. In our text here, when the Apostle Paul is writing about the last day, and I have to say, dear brothers and sisters, Judgment Day is a reminder unto us. You know, when you read about how Jesus speaks of the end times, he says the times will become so evil that the days will be shortened for the elect's sake. And yet we don't have to be fearful. God will protect us. He'll always show unto us the way of heaven, no matter what happens around us in the world. That's how simple it is. When we as believers think of Judgment Day, it's a day of comfort, of consolation, of which the Apostle Paul here says. He says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. As the Apostle Paul says, in a twinkling of an eye, the Lord is here. Life has ceased as we know it. Like that. It's a glorious day unto us. And as we heard, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It will be a sea of humanity. Everyone that has been born arises before. Not Jesus hanging on the cross. No, not to that sweet, gentle voice that is heard today. Come this way. Come this way. There's grace and there's mercy and there's forgiveness. No, that will not be heard on the last day. And as Jesus says, it will be as in the days of Noah, when the flood came and they were eating and drinking, and Noah went into the ark. And the Bible says, and God closed the doors of the ark. At that moment, the time of grace had ended in the first world. Up until that time, that incredible, miraculous, loving voice was heard. You who are struggling with that sin burden, come this way. There is grace and mercy and forgiveness. But when those doors of the ark were closed by God, that still small voice stopped. The rains came. I'm sure nobody really thought much of it. Perhaps some who maybe saw that the doors of the ark were closing, they might have wondered what was happening. But I'm sure there was not much alarm. The ark was on dry ground, and they hadn't been given. They hadn't had time to listen to that loving voice, that encouraging voice. But soon the rivers began to overflow their banks. The ocean levels began to rise. At some point, the ark began to float. People were scrambling up to mountaintops, get away from the flood. Then the eyes of the people, I am sure, began to open, and they began to remember that word. That there in that ark, that man had been encouraging them of, but it was too late. Time of grace had ended. So it will be on the last day when Jesus comes. He comes as the righteous judge. And as we heard this morning so preciously of this reminder of Judgment Sunday, life indeed is simplified. All humanity is before that righteous judge, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all humanity is divided into two groups, as we heard. All the thousands of different religions and thoughts and beliefs of the world, many of them building beautiful stairways to heaven with their mind and their reason and their understanding and their wisdom, they all crumble. Every one of them burns. And there is only two groups of people, as Jesus said. There are the sheep and there are the goats. And humanity is separated. The sheep's on the right hand of the righteous judge. You will hear those words. Come, ye blessed of my Father, and inherit eternal life in heaven. I ask you, does it pay to believe? And on the other hand, on the left hand, are the goats. Solomon was given to see this last day also. And this is how he writes of it. Beginning in the fourth chapter from the Wisdom of Solomon. There's a title above this portion. The title says in this way, "The Ungodly and the Righteous at Judgment." Judgment Day. "And when they cast up the accounts of their sins, they shall come with fear, and their own iniquities shall convince them to their face. Then shall a righteous man stand in great boldness before the face of such as have afflicted him and made no account of his labors. And when they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear and shall be amazed at the strangeness of his salvation," of your salvation, "so far beyond all that they had looked for. And they, repenting and groaning for the anguish of spirit, shall say within themselves, this was he whom we had sometimes in derision and a proverb of reproach. We fools accounted his life madness and his end to be without honor. How is he numbered among the children of God, and his lot is among the saints? Speaking of you. Therefore have we erred from the way of truth, and the light of righteousness has not shone unto us, and the Sun of righteousness rose not upon us. We wearied ourselves in the way of wickedness and destruction. Yea, we have gone through deserts where there lay no way, but as for the way of the Lord, we have not known it. What hath pride profited us? Or what good hath riches with our vaunting brought us? All those things are passed away like a shadow, and as a post that hasted by, as a ship that passed over the waves of the water, which when it is gone by, the trace thereof cannot be found, neither the pathway of the keel and the waves, or as a bird hath flown through the air, there is no token of her way to be found, but the light air being beaten with the stroke of her wings and parted with the violent noise and the motion of them is passed through. And therein afterward no sign where she went is to be found. Or like as an arrow is shot at a mark, it parteth the air, which immediately come together again, so that no man cannot know where it went through. Even so we in like manner, as soon as we were born, began to draw to our end, and had no sign of virtue to show, but were consumed in our own wickedness. For the hope of the ungodly is like the dust that is blown away with the wind, like a thin froth that is driven away with the storm, like as a smoke which is dispersed here and there with a tempest and passeth away, as the remembrance of a guest that tarried but a day. He gives a very descriptive picture of judgment day. And then he reminds us here, but the righteous live forevermore. Their reward also is with the Lord, and the care of them is with the Most High. Therefore shall they receive a glorious kingdom, a beautiful crown from the Lord's hand. For with his right hand shall he cover them, and with his arm shall he protect them. Another picture given unto us of judgment day. It's a glorious day for us children of God. And as the apostle here says in our text, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. God granted unto the apostle Paul this vision. And there will be children of God here on that last day, judgment day. Those of you that are alive, you'll wake up in the morning as you did today. Somewhere during that day, then in a twinkling of an eye, life as we know cease to exist. You will see the saints arise from the graves. And all those that are dead will be assembled in one vast sea of humanity. And the righteous judge then begins to call by name, one by one, you come, ye blessed of my Father. I ask, does it pay to believe? You know, the gospel text that our Heavenly Father revealed unto us this morning in such a wonderful way. It's a certainty. It will happen. And all our loved ones who now rest upon the bosom of Abraham waiting for this day, life to them
ended as we know it when they drew their last breath. And to them, when they opened their eyes on Judgment Day, it is but a twinkling of an eye. They arise to heaven. Does it pay to believe? Yes. Fear not, little flock. It is my Father's good pleasure to grant unto you His kingdom. Jesus reminds us. Be of good comfort. Believe all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. But Judgment Day is also a reminder unto those in unbelief. A reminder of that day which will come one day unto every one of us. Some of us will leave soon. Some a little later. But there will be children of God here when the final Judgment Day comes. And to you, dear unbelieving one, the doors of the kingdom of God are yet opened. That loving call of our Lord Jesus is yet heard here in His kingdom, pleading that still small voice of God is encouraging, come this way. There is grace. There is forgiveness. There is eternal life waiting for you. I so especially like that portion where, in the end of the Bible, where Jesus reminds those unbelieving ones, our loved ones, open the door. Open the door of your heart. And Jesus said, and I will come in. The simplicity of living faith. And so we pray on their behalf, our loved ones and our neighbors and our countrymen who are endeavoring in the darkness of unbelief, that they would stop in their life to consider the most important question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And you are those messengers of Jesus. Here in this ending of this portion, the Apostle Paul, he goes on to remind them and us. He says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But he says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. No, we need not fear. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Then he says here, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Very good instructions for us. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And then he asks and pleads, brethren, pray for us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I also need to hear that reassurance of the gospel that, can I believe, my many sins and doubts also forgiven. I certainly desire to believe with you, and Judgment Day is a day of consolation unto us, a reminder of what is ahead for us, heaven, eternal life, the crown of rejoicing. And so we continue to plead unto the Heavenly Father again and again. This plea of the psalmist, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We need this continually, this prayer, because we are so sinful, so doubt-ridden, and we need again and again to hear that precious message of the gospel. All your sins and doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And that peace and joy of salvation is restored unto us. We go indeed from victory to victory to victory. It pays to believe, dear brothers and sisters. Also at the end, I want to relay greetings from my parents in Finland. They're doing fairly well, aging, and remember you fondly and with love. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.